Today is Saturday, the 16th of July, 2022, and we are gathered here for the 41st session on mindfulness for beginners. And we have Venerable Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero participating in our session today, representing Nisarnamaneya Forest Monastery. I would like to welcome Bhante on behalf of all the organizers and attendees to today's session, and I would also like to welcome all those who are joining through Zoom and those who are joining through the Facebook live stream of Satipatthala Foundation. So, as a first step, we will move on to the in-session mindfulness practice, and I would like to hand over the controls to Bhante to commence this step. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Hello, everybody. So we will start today's program with a few minutes of mindful practice. So today I thought we can do a sitting, sorry, we can do a walking session today. For that, you have to make sure that you have some space, probably 10 to 15 feet, where you can walk back and forth. Make sure you have some space. You can clear that space, remove any obstacles that are there. Then you start walking in a comfortable manner. You walk. While walking, you try to pay attention. You try to be aware that you are walking. Just pay attention and notice what is happening. Notice that your body is walking. That attention we are trying to give. And when we do that, initially, you might not feel anything, but when you do it again and again, you may start to feel, you may start to notice various things. Probably you hear the sounds from the surrounding. Then you see things from the surrounding. Again and again, we walk paying attention. And when you do this, you can notice that your body is also walking. You may feel that your body is walking. Sometimes you may feel the ground, the texture of the ground, the temperature of the ground that you are walking. So we try to be aware that our body is walking. We try to be aware about the present moment. Sometimes you may feel that heel is touching the ground, toes are touching. You notice these things. How the weight is shifting from one leg to the other, you may notice. So we are going to walk in a comfortable manner while paying attention, and we try to notice these things that we feel. We try to be aware about the walking process. Time to time, thoughts may appear, but you can become aware that your mind is thinking, planning, remembering certain incidents. With that awareness, you can again bring your attention to the present moment. Again and again, we try to walk in a comfortable manner and try to be present. Try to be aware. So this is our practice. During the walking process, that we walk and we try to be aware, we try to be mindful. So I invite all of you to participate in a walking session. We can take about 10 minutes for that. Okay, so that's the idea of mindful walking. We try to practice about 10 minutes. You can try this on your own. Take some time, just walk in a comfortable manner and try to be mindful, try to be aware. So that practice, we are recommending you to do it every day, probably 30, 40 minutes. If you can do a mindful walking session, it's very good for your mindfulness, for your mental health. So with that, I think now, Mantra, we can go forward.
Yes, Bhante, and thank you and much merits to Bhante for guiding on that session on mindfulness. So as a next step, I would like to invite warmly Anupama to present the reports and also conduct the balance of the Q&A session with statements and questions from the attendees for today's session. I believe there are three reports, and I will hand over the controls to you, Anupama. Thank you.
Thank you, Namanta. Avasarai Bhante. Hope you can hear me clearly.
Yes, we can.
Thank you. I'll start off by reading report one. We have three reports today. Sitting meditation. Watching breath as primary object. Had an unsettled mind just before meditation. After some thought, proliferation mind settled on breath naturally. Watched in and out breath, and after a short time, there appeared a space where the breath was felt, but there was a perception of no face or nostrils. Remembered the instruction to stay with primary object, so did just that. After some time, the breath appeared to disappear and reappeared this time with only nostril present on one side. Watched in and out breath. A sense of body rocking side to side and then forward and backward continued till it stopped spontaneously. During the rocking mind, stayed with breath. Meditated 40 minutes. This is the end of report one, Bhante.
Okay, so when we start our practice, initially you might feel that it is difficult to observe your breath. You stay for a while. If you stay calm, if you be patient, then you can see that after some time, it is naturally settling, thoughts are settling, and naturally your attention comes to the breath. So that way we can approach our sitting session. You don't have to struggle too much. Just let it happen naturally. And naturally the attention will settle on the breath. So that's the way we should approach our sitting practice. Then when you keep observing your breath, you can see how the perception is changing. Sometimes parts of your body disappearing, you can notice. Sometimes the breath disappearing far away. Sometimes the breath is prominent. Sometimes the breath vanishes. So these things happen. You simply try to observe, be aware what is happening. When you do that, you can see with these changes of the breath that you are noticing, you can see how the body is also reacting to that change. You can see how the body is starting to go side by side. Various things are happy and happening. You just be the observer. You don't have to struggle with this process too much. Just let it happen naturally. And try to observe it. You can see that breath vanishes into the empty space. This happens again and again, not just once, but again and again, this is happening. Things that were there vanishes. They disappear into the empty space. And when you see that, when you experience that again and again, then you will let go of the view that everything exists. Sometimes we think that everything exists in their solid form. But when you see things vanish into the empty space, you will let go of that idea, that view. Then you will see things appearing from this empty space. Breath is appearing, thoughts are appearing, sounds are appearing. They appear again and again. When you be mindful, you can see these things are appearing again and again. When you see that appearing, when you see that arising process, then you will let go of the view that nothing exists. These things appear, they disappear, they arise, they cease. That's the process that is ongoing. So we let go of the extremes and come to a middle path. We just try to observe again and again without coming into judgment, without coming into conclusions. So it's good that you experience this. Now you have to let it happen again and again, 1,001 times. You have to let it happen. When you do that, you will see how your own mind is appreciating this middle path. How your own mind is accepting this middle path. It won't go to those extremes too much. Instead, it'll stay in the middle. That's life-changing because you can see that friction in your day-to-day life will reduce considerably because your mind is accepting this. You will easily accept the change that is there in your life. Various new things will come into your life and you will accept that change. Then things that are there will disappear. They will break. That too, you are able to deal much easily. This is due to the practice that is helping your mind to understand the middle path. Let go of the extremes and come to the middle. So that is happening when you do this. Even without you knowing, that's what's happening. Now you thought that breath is always there. That was your initial view when you started. Now you can see how that perception has changed. Then you thought that this is a solid body. I have a face. I have nostrils. So that was your idea when you started. But now you see how the parts are just disappearing. Although the body is there, I can't feel my face. Certain parts have disappeared. So this experience you have to take. That's why we encourage you to do formal sessions. Try to do walking, mindful walking. Try to practice mindful sitting. Those formal sessions will allow you to experience these things more and more. So thank you for sharing, and we encourage you to practice again and again and try to see how this process is evolving.
Thank you, Bhante. I will now move on to report number 2. Mindful walking. Walked barefoot on grass at a regular pace. Felt the main movements of feet and shifting of body, weight prominently at first. Also felt the coolness while walking under the shade and sharp heat from the sun on skin while walking on the rest of the path. Noted the mind preferring walking in the shade compared to the sunny path. Again, observed this swing between like and dislike, when right knee felt some pressure at this point. The mind preferred the no pressure feeling of the left knee. It felt a bit easier now to see the landscape of the mind, the constant movement between liking and disliking, or preference and rejection. Walking had become fairly automatic now. Physical movement was there, and the attention moving to different phenomena while walking continued. It was becoming harder to separate parts of walking movements, such as lifting, moving, and placing of feet. It all felt like one continuous process. That is the mindful walking, Bhante. Next is mindful sitting section. Sat on the cushion and adjusted the body. A quick body scan helped ease the sitting posture. Contemplated briefly on virtues of the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. Body felt balanced and relaxed. Mind was content to sit in meditation. Breath noted as coarse. In breath, using up some energy, and out breath felt releasing of that energy or as letting go. Attention went to sounds in the background, then to future planning. Continuing to make stories with future planning was caught earlier than other times. Attention alternated between different objects, such as bodily feelings, sounds, smells, past events, and future planning. A family member who didn't know of the mindfulness session knocked on the door to ask something. Mind recognized the choices available immediately. While having eyes closed, waited to hear what they wanted, heard them open the door and closing it right back as they would have seen the sitting practice in progress and not wanting to disturb it. Check to see what emotions or thoughts arose in mind about the above event. Few months ago, there would have been emotion of indignation as to why would they disturb the practice, etc. However, now there was no agitation nor indignation in the mind. Felt amazed that the usual automatic reaction wasn't taking place and mind chose to be okay with what was happening. Mindfulness during the day, having contemplated on the feedback received from Bhante for the, I think we are moving on to the third section, which is mindfulness during the day. Having contemplated on the feedback received from Bhante for the last 2 weeks, reporting on a particular event, the mind gradually recognized the uselessness of trying to share correct data while others in that specific study group were caught up in pushing their views forward and not being open to other explanations. On recognizing this, the mind felt relieved, less responsible for others, less conflictive, and therefore calmer. As a result, more effective choices on how to be in that study group also appeared in the mind. One choice was to share any learnings only if anyone specifically asked for it. Otherwise, to keep the peace and to watch what arose in own mind. Second choice was to decide whether to take time out of that study group for a while. Chose to miss that study group last week and use that time to listen to a Dhamma talk on insight meditation instead. As a result, something simple yet new was experienced. Mind noted the preference or liking in sharing the correct data without checking if the time is right or if there was enough openness for receiving it. This was a simple observation but gave the insight of needing to check if there was a demand for something. If there isn't, then to save the energy and avoid inner conflict or perhaps other outer conflict. These choices need more practicing in the coming weeks. Venerable Bhante, I would really appreciate your valuable feedback on this experience. Theruvan Saranai. End of report 2.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. As you can see, when you start your walking process, you can really feel the different parts. But after some time, it becomes more like automatic, and you can't really separate the individual parts. So it's a good progress that we are making, but don't expect it to be there like that forever. Again, it will change. Again, you are able to notice the certain parts in details. Again, it goes to that system approach. So when it happens, we call it flow state. You are working as a whole system. You don't have that much energy to separate individual parts. That's fine. The mindfulness is there and the process is happening. So let it happen again and again. Sometimes it becomes a system approach. Sometimes you can feel the individual parts in detail, vivid, colorful manner. So this is how it is changing again and again. Then you can really see how these likings and dislikings are working. You prefer to walk in that shady path. Avoid certain things. So these things are happening all the time during our day-to-day life, during walking, sitting. This is what it, how it goes. And the environment, it is actually neutral. You think that other people, they are not neutral. The environment is not neutral. This is a good tree, that is a bad tree. We give those ideas. But truly, the surrounding is neutral. It is you that's keep judging. Certain things you prefer, certain things you reject. This liking and disliking process is happening again and again. That's how we function. We try to impose these likings and dislikings to this neutral surrounding. That is our inner response. When we practice, we can really see how this process is happening again and again. You don't have to stop it. You just keep observing. You just keep noticing. And when you do that, you can really see new options are becoming available. You get various other options instead of your usual reactions. And you sometimes take that risk to try out certain things. Follow new paths, new ways, new options. And that's a good experiment that we can do. There's no time constraint on this. So you can really practice again and again. Instead of doing them as per the usual pattern, usual circuit, you can try new options. Because you are attentive, because you don't get carried away, these options become available. Otherwise, we don't have a choice. We just follow that usual pattern. When somebody tells something unnecessary, becoming angry is our usual pattern. But when you are mindful, when you have that strength in your mind, you get more options, more choices become available to you. And you can try them out and see which ones are working. We can't really give an equation. Instead, you try based on the situation, based on the people, you can try out various options. And that finding that balance is the practice. With time, you can really find that balance. That balance becomes more and more automatic to you. So we are in that process. You can see how when you are disturbed, how the usual responses versus the current responses. that change that is happening within you is a silent sermon even to the surrounding. That's why probably without asking anything, that person closed the door and left, went away, because it was a silent sermon. Seeing somebody in the meditation posture is a silent sermon. There's this story, a killer traveling through the forest looking for animals to kill, and suddenly sees this person or a sage meditating under a tree. So that's killer's mentality is totally different. But still seeing this type of a person sitting under a tree, he won't make that much noise. Instead, he will just go away, avoid that area. Because that scenery, it's giving a totally different vibration. Not the usual vibrations that you get from the world. Not the worldly vibrations. So these things are just silent sermons. You can really see how it is influencing your surrounding, the close family and friends that you have. It's a silent sermon. And gradually, they too will start listening to that. So this is how we can progress in our practice. Now it's totally up to you. You just share your experience, try practicing again and again. Use your energy wisely and try to see how you can utilize this energy. Because energy is the same. Either you can waste it on unnecessary things, on your likings and dislikings. Either you can use it constructively. It's up to you. Most of the people, they are lost in these things. They build up this negative energy. So it is said that about 80,000 thoughts we are getting every day, and about 80% of them are negative. So that's where our energy goes. 80% of the thoughts are negative thoughts. And probably we are using 80% or more energy on those negative thoughts. And then we come back and then we complain, I have depression, I need a pill to go to sleep. So that we come and complain, but we don't know how we are utilizing our energy. However, the way you are utilizing, that will give results. If you are utilizing your energy negatively, then you will definitely get negative results. So that's the idea. You can try and experiment with this more and more. And we appreciate you sharing the experience with us.
Thank you, Bhante. I shall now move on to report number 3, the final report for today. Mindfulness during the day. Came home after a hard day at work. Was aware that the body was very tired and there wasn't much mindfulness in the mind. Usually, I would feel it when there's strong mindfulness. Saw that the house was messy and was in a state. Habitually, the mind started to complain and inner talk began. Why haven't they tidied up? This is unfair. But this complaining mode only lasted for a few minutes, and the awareness was there that this is just a state of my mind and I shouldn't attach to it. Mindfulness returned and felt it strongly. Calmly tidied up the house. Soon the mind bounced back to the natural thoughtless state. Did the remaining schoolwork with no difficulty, with a calm mind. Mindful sitting. Sat down to do sitting practice very late into the night. Soon the mind turned inwards. A thought arose and with awareness recognized it as a thought about the past. There was a long gap between the next thought. Recognized it as a thought about the future. It faded away. Mind became free from all thoughts for a while. Couldn't help but to enjoy the freedom of the mind without thoughts, although there was an awareness that this is just another state of the mind. Felt very sleepy soon in this state. Usually when the mind gets to this thoughtless state, it becomes very sleepy and lethargic, but I think nothing of it. And when the mindfulness returns again, just carried on watching the mind. Your feedback is very much appreciated, Bhante, with metta for your path. End of report 3.
Okay, so when we try to practice, sometimes we see that there is no mindfulness. There is complaining. Sometimes we see that there is breath. Sometimes we see that breath is not there. So these various things, they are also part of the practice. Initially, we are mindful that the breath is there. Then we are mindful that the breath is not there. So both are different aspects of the practice. Remember that we continue with this awareness. So sometimes you see that the awareness is not so strong. Sometimes you see that the awareness is so strong and you can closely observe. So this is how it is changing, it is evolving. Different states come and go. You just try to be aware, try to see how it is changing. You can't always have an equal level of mindfulness, a strong level of mindfulness throughout the day. Instead, it will increase, it will decrease. That's how it goes. And that is the practice, that is the path that we are walking. That is the journey. So little by little, we grow. Little by little, we strengthen. And you can see, of course, you can spend your energy on the complaining and create more and more trouble. That option is usual. That is what we usually do. We try to clean certain things. We wash dishes. But we are angry in our mind. In a way, we try to make other things clear, clean. Still, our mind is dirty. And we don't even notice that. We are making noises. We are blaming other people. Still, you are cleaning. But your mind is dirty. But now you notice, okay, this complaining process is there. One option is to give energy towards that complaining. Blame other people. Ask them to clean. Those things you can do. But there's this other option, alternative path. You can silently do your thing. And try to return to that normal state of the mind. So that's how it goes. You can't always be calm, peaceful all the time. That's not possible. Instead, it comes and goes. It is okay to be sad. It is okay to be worried. It is okay to be angry. As long as you know that you are sad. As long as you know that you are angry. As long as you know that you are worried. Allow them to come and go. We are human. This is the behavior of a human mind. So sadness is natural to your mind. Anger is natural to your mind. We are not fighting that. Instead, we try to observe this process. We try to distance ourselves from this process. We try not to become a slave to this process. And that we are succeeding. Then you can see how you are becoming the master of your own mind. How you get more and more options available to you. Utterly due to the practice, due to the awareness that's in your mind. So continue this process, continue to practice. And even the sitting, you can see the thoughts are there. That's just another part. And other processes are also there. The body is there, probably breathing happens. Then you can hear the sounds. They are also there. So we are not only giving our attention to the thoughts. Instead, we give attention to the process that is happening. That process is a combination of things. So notice that the body is there, probably breathing happens automatically. Then the thoughts come and go. Notice the entire process. Notice how it is happening. Otherwise, we just wait for the thoughts to appear. That's not the correct practice. Instead, let them come. They will come naturally. You just have to allow that process to continue. Body is apart. Then if your eyes closed, you don't see anything. Still, you hear things. Then thoughts, emotions, those things are there. Sometimes you get even smells, taste. So that entire process, we are aware, we are mindful of the entire process. So continue and let us know again.
Those very valuable tips and advice. And thank you everyone for sharing your experience with us. It certainly sharing helps enhance everybody's experience with the mindful practice. So much merit to you all. We now move on to the Q&A session. If anybody has any questions for Bhante today, please do raise your Zoom hand and you can unmute yourself and ask your question. Not have any questions today. Yes, Namanta, I think we have no hands up today, so no questions for Bhante today. So I suppose we could move on to the next segment.
Yes, that is fine. Thank you so much, Anupama, and much merits to you, and also much merits to Bhante. I think we can put the extra time for the talk itself. So firstly, I will go through the steps for a beginner to address how he would have to start up on mindfulness. I will share the screen for the right page to come up. Okay, so you can see five steps listed up on screen being shared currently. The first step is to go through the videos on mindful walking and mindful sitting. So there are two videos, and this will be a good refresher for any experienced practitioner, and also will be a advisory level information for a person starting up. So you can go through these two videos. They're also in the Zoom chat section. These will have the instructions, basic ones, for you to start. And then the second step would be critically depending on how you allocate, how you are able to allocate some time into your daily schedule, which will be the toughest task, I think. So you can start from 10 minutes for each session. That is 10 minutes of mindful walking, 10 minutes of mindful sitting practice. If you're beginning, experienced practitioners aim to do this for 1 hour for each session. So you can likewise start from 10 and then go on with, let's say, 20, 30, 40 and extend up to 1 hour as your practice deepens gradually. So starting up, it'll be 10 or 15 minutes of mindful walking and 10 to 15 minutes of mindful sitting. And then once you get the rhythm of this practice behavior, you can extend it to one full hour or up to 45 minutes. It's quite rigorous practice, I would say. And once you do this for maybe a week or 2 weeks or even for 3-4 days, you can start writing your details of your practice in words. You for example, for the mindful walking, you can mention what were the objects of focus at different times during the session, during the walking, and whether you got distracted or whether you had thoughts infiltrating into the mind, and how you regained the awareness, and what proof you have to mention about this regaining of awareness, like you sensed your left foot touching the floor all of a sudden after drifting into thoughts, and you had your awareness returning back to your physical context. So likewise, you can do this, put that into a written report. Then you can describe mindful sitting. The object could have been breath moving in and out, or it could have been the abdomen rising and falling, or any bodily vibrations, or even thoughts could come and disturb you or distract you. And disturbance from thoughts is not a negative thing in this practice. It is just another object to observe. Where your breath is an object at one time, and then it goes on to be the thoughts that are drifting along. So likewise, you can put whatever you experience into the report and send it to us. Our program works with a feedback loop, in the sense what you write as a part of your practice will be reviewed and commented on by Bhante with advice to further progress your own practice. So you can put the written reports into the Google form, which is in the Zoom chat section, and or send it through to the email beginnersnv@gmail.com, and we will present it like we did today to Bhante so that he can advise you. There are recordings on the link there, past recordings of these sessions, which you can visit and gain more wisdom. There is some ongoing IT website maintenance activities currently, where some of the recordings might not be accessible for the next few days. I believe there could be some recordings which are still accessible these few days. I apologize for the inconvenience, but all the recordings will be available once the maintenance work on the website is completed. So with that, the brief description on the right steps to start up and also to maintain stops here. I will stop sharing the screen. So that is over.
I believe Anjali has her hand up.
Yes, I just noticed that. Thank you for highlighting that, Anupama. Bhante, there is a person raising the hand. Do we have permission to take a question as part of the Q&A session? If Bhante allows, I'm okay.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, Panchani, you can unmute now and speak. Thank you.
Hello, Namantha, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You can.
Sorry, I didn't ask my question earlier on during the Q&A session. I had to take some time to reflect on Bhante's feedback. Bhante, you mentioned that don't allow the thoughts to come. It's not that I'm allowing the thoughts to come. It just doesn't seem to come after the initial thoughts fades away. It just doesn't seem to come anymore. And even during the day-to-day, like normal life, stay in a place that there are no thoughts. It's very comfortable. Body is very light at that moment. And when you want to take on a focus, you can do that. But at other times, just stays thoughtless. Am I on the right path, or am I doing something that I shouldn't be doing? I mean, I'm not doing anything. This is what the mind prefers.
Okay, so it is happening naturally. So allow it to happen. What I said is that you don't have to wait for thoughts, right? They'll come when they come. So you don't have to wait for them. You don't have to ask for them. If they are not there, that's fine. You are peaceful. It is comfortable. So stay in that comfort, appreciate that peace. And once in a while, the thoughts will appear. When they appear, of course, you can be aware. Okay, this is happening. I'm planning, thinking, like that. But if you start waiting for thoughts, expecting them to arrive, then that's not the correct practice. Instead, be there with the state of your mind, whatever it could be. It could be peaceful without any thoughts, comfortable. That's also fine. It is full of thoughts. I can't get rid of thoughts. That's also fine. Just let it be. And you accept that situation. You just be the observer. That's the idea of the practice. Otherwise, some people have this idea of observing mind. And they are waiting for the thoughts to arrive to do the practice. So that waiting thing is creating some kind of a confusion in their practice. Because they want thoughts, they expect something, so they can practice. That's not the idea of the practice. Instead, you appreciate the current state of your mind. If it is empty, then that's fine. It is comfortable, peaceful. So stay with that. And after a while, it will change. When that change happens, we welcome that. But while having this peace, while having this comfort, if you are waiting for thoughts, or if you think that the thoughts are not there, when will they arrive? That is not the correct practice. Instead, you appreciate what you have. It could be peaceful, no thoughts. That's also fine. It could be full of thoughts. So mind is all over the place. That's also fine. Both situations, it's an opportunity for you to practice. So appreciate the status that you have in the present moment. And that is the practice that we are talking about.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that question, Panchini. Bhante, I would like to invite Bhante on behalf of all attending to commence with the talk on mindfulness scheduled for today. Much merits, Bhante.
Okay, everybody, I think we can take some time to discuss a little bit more about the practice, about the mindfulness that we are doing, right? So let me start like this. Now, the environment, the surrounding that we are living, the world that we live in, that's neutral. Although there are the people, it is neutral. Although there are the objects, it is neutral. Usually, it's our internal judgment that creates likings and
sorry, Bhante.
That is how the process is happening. So we say, this is a good person and he is a bad person. This is a big tree and this is a small tree. This flower is beautiful. This flower is ugly. We are judging the surrounding. We are judging the objects. We are judging the animals. We are judging the people. So it's this internal process. Let's say two people, they face the same situation, same incident, in the same location. And two of them, will come with various different ideas about that situation. Probably one person will take it as positive, while the other one is thinking it as negative. So in a way, we are creating our own interpretation for the things that are happening outside. We are creating our own liking and disliking based on this sense experience that we are having. The origin of the sense experience was the same thing, same situation, but two people interpret it differently. They will come with two different interpretations. So this process is happening again and again in our mind. And this process is more like automated process. You don't even know what is happening. You will directly experience either liking or disliking. This mind is programmed for you to experience the world like that. Only the liking and disliking you will experience. You don't even notice the initial part, initial process of this thing. And one person will start complaining, while the other person will start appreciating the situation. So this is how it works. That's why I said earlier even about 80% of the thoughts are negative. And we spend so much of our energy on these negative thoughts. We hold them maybe for minutes, hours, or days even. But there are positive things as well. But usually they don't grab our attention. They don't last. So this is how you are spending your energy. That negativity, you are empowering again and again. And as a result, you will get more and more negativity. No other person is doing it. It's the process of your mind. And you will get similar results. So when we start our practice, the practice of mindfulness, it's a huge process, project. It's a huge project that we are trying to change the behavior of this mind. But we don't approach like that. Instead, we try to have some kind of observation about the present moment, about the process that is happening. So in a way, you direct some light towards this darkness. And due to that light, you can see various things. When you direct a light into a dark room, you can notice various things. Okay, there is a chair there. Okay, there is a person standing there. Due to this light, you are observing various things that were in the dark. So similar kind of approach we are taking. We direct the light of mindfulness towards our mind, towards the present moment. And when that happens, you can notice various things. you can notice, okay, so many thoughts are there. My mind is all over the place. So much chatter going on. So you don't have to complain about this. Instead, this is another observation. Okay, my mind is all over the place. Inner chatter is there. So many thoughts are there. Then time to time you notice that my body is aching, paining. So that's another observation. So a few weeks back, I introduced the idea of mindfulness to this person. And after walking for 30 minutes, I asked, what did you notice? Then this person said, my legs were aching, paining. That was my observation. Okay, that's fine. With that, you can start. When you pay attention, you notice various things. You don't have to put judgment towards these things that you observe. You don't have to do that same liking, disliking thing towards these observations. Instead, you simply notice, okay, I notice pain, aches in my body. I notice so many thoughts appearing and disappearing. I notice various emotions. I notice various bodily sensations. I notice various sounds. You are noticing them due to the observation, due to the light that you are directing, due to the mindfulness. So that is how we have to start our practice. We start it, we do it again and again. As formal meditation, we try to do a few minutes of sitting, walking, as explained earlier. Then even your day-to-day life, you try to be aware about the present moment. When you do that, you can feel how various things are coming and going. How you more like automatically create judgment in your mind, liking, disliking, based on this process. Just observe, okay, liking is there, disliking is there. This is happening again and again. That observation you can do, but you have to remind yourself again and again to be mindful, to be aware. Because usually we get carried away by this mind, the process of this mind. If you have energy towards the practice, you can remind yourself again and again. Some people, they start their day with a determination. Okay, I will be mindful throughout this day. The entire day I will be mindful. Then they come back and they say, I started my day with that determination. But it lasted only like 5 minutes. Then at the end of the day, I only remembered that I had this determination. That's why I said this mind is more like automatic. It is more like programmed. So it takes time, it takes effort for you to introduce this mindfulness to your mind. You have to empower that quality of your mind. Initially, it is difficult. Initially, it takes some time. It takes some energy. But when you do it again and again, when you do your formal meditation, when you do your day-to-day approach, then you realize with time, this quality of mindfulness, this quality of attention becomes automatic to your mind. Now these new circuits are working. They have done some research, brain scans, and what they have noticed is that when you are mindful, you are fully alert. Your brain is fully alert. But there is no bias in your brain. Usually when there is a bias, when there is liking, disliking, certain kind of a vortex is there. It's more like your energy is concentrated towards that point. But when you see the practitioner of mindfulness, they can see that their full brain is alert, but there is no center of alertness. There's no vortex. There's no energy consuming part. But still, the entire brain is alert. So this is a totally new circuit, a new capacity that we are talking about. So that circuit, that capacity, it becomes also automatic. We are, in a way, reprogramming our brain. Instead of having those likings and dislikings and spend our energy on those things, we try to reprogram. We try to practice this alertness. And you can see your whole brain is alert, but still there's no center. So the new circuits, they too start working. Just have to spend some time, spend some energy, and you can see this becomes automatic. This initially you are taking it intentionally. Initially you are taking with so much effort, practice. But when you do it, when you introduce these new circuits, and when you follow these new circuits again and again, then you can see the brain is reprogramming. And it becomes automatic to follow these new circuits. In a way, in scientific terms, we call neuroplasticity. Whatever the circuits that you are using more frequently, they become automatic, they become strengthened. So the quality of attention, mindfulness, that too will come naturally to your mind. That is why in your reports you mentioned that I keep practicing, and during my day-to-day life I can see that I am naturally mindful. Mindfulness comes naturally to me. Due to the practice, due to the effort that I have done. So that's a good achievement. Because you know why? When you are sick, when you are in a trouble, when you are on your deathbed, you can't try and practice, right? When there is so much aches, pains in your body, you can't try to be mindful. Instead, you should train yourself beforehand and reprogram your mind. So the mind is naturally mindful. And when that happens, you can really see whatever the situation you might be in, this practice will be there to help you. You are burning with anger and you are about to hit somebody, and suddenly you become mindful. Okay, I'm in this situation. You are totally lost. Everything has gone wrong. And suddenly you become aware. Okay, I'm in this situation. You are sick or you are injured. Instead of crying or instead of becoming fearful, suddenly this attention hits you and realize I am in this situation. This is what I have to do. or even you are on your deathbed, pain is there. Your mind is all over the place. There's no peace. But still, you can be mindful. You can be aware. Okay, this is what I am experiencing. Don't try expect to finish your life with so much comfort and ease. It won't happen. Usually you observe the people, how they spend, you know, last few minutes of their life. They experience so much pain in their body. If there's no pain in their body, still they struggle in their mind. So this programming you have to do beforehand. There's a saying that says, although you could have somebody else on your bed, everyone sleeps alone. There's nobody inside your mind. You sleep with your own mind. You sleep alone. So that very experience you have to face on your deathbed. So you can't postpone and wait till that day to start your practice. You have to make sure that you are practicing, you are putting enough hours to the practice. This comes automatic. This becomes automatic. What is automatic? This attention, this awareness is automatic. There could be likings or there could be dislikings, but still you are aware. If you grab onto, if you hold on to likings, then you are in trouble. If you hold on to dislikings, then you are in trouble. So both extremes, you have to let go. So even last week we discussed this point. Yeah, we understand that disliking that we don't like. We want to get rid of that extreme. But how about the likings? Likings also, it's two sides of a coin. So if you hold on to likings, you are in the same trouble, same confusion. Because due to these likings, dislikings will come. You just have to wait for a while till you turn it around. And suddenly you realize due to the likings, now the disliking is there. You have something that you appreciate. Once it is broken, pain is there because of that same object. So you can hold on to likings or you can hold on to dislikings. Still, you are in the same struggle. So that's why I say when you are mindful, you don't give in to the likings. You don't give in to the dislikings. Instead, you know that they are there. You don't try to stop them. You don't try to get rid of them. Instead, you accept that they are there. You try to be aware that they are there. And with time, when you do this practice again and again, you realize that you are not giving so much weight. Your mind is not giving so much weight to these likings and dislikings. More options, more choices become available to you. If you are giving so much weight, then you get carried away due to that weight and you don't see any other option. To anger, you react in a certain way. To lust, you react in a certain way. To jealousy, you react in a certain way. No other option, no other choice. But when your attention grows, when your awareness grows, you let go of these likings, dislikings. You don't hold on to them so much as you used to do. And when you let go, even a little bit, you can see more options become available to me. More choices become available to me. You are not giving so much weight towards these things, towards these likings and dislikings. Instead, you are giving the proper weight, I would say. It's a very little concern. It's a very little weight that we really should give to these thoughts and emotions. These day-to-day difficulties that we experience. So in a way, you are giving the proper weight. Why? Because due to the practice, you understand the real potential of this mind. Earlier, when you start your practice, even before, you thought that only the thoughts are there, only the emotions are there, only the sounds are there, only my body is there. You saw this as a solid existence. It is continuing and it is solid. That's your experience. But when you practice, in your own report, you say half of the face disappeared. Part of the body disappeared. Breath disappeared. And you start to notice the gap between in-breath and out-breath. Initially, the gap is very little. And with time, you realize the breath becomes smaller and smaller. Gap becomes larger and larger. And finally, the breath will disappear. Only empty space will remain. So compared to this empty space, the things are very little. We don't give the proper weight to these things. We don't give the proper weight to the thoughts, emotions that we experience. We think that's our world. But when you experience the real potential of your mind, you start to notice that these things are only a small part of this mind, of this existence. There's a larger portion that we don't even know. Compared to that empty space, these thoughts, emotions, sensations, just like dust in a mind jar. Those dust particles, they just come and go. Sometimes they cloud the entire bottle. Sometimes they settle. And the clear water appears. So that type of a deep understanding you will get in your mind. When you understand, when you experience that more and more, you can really see the things that are there, they become less and less valuable. You are giving less and less weight towards those things. So there's this very nice analogy that on a sunny day, red hot burning sun is in the middle of the sky. And when that happens, you can see that only the sun is there. No other objects are there in the sky. And if I ask you, are there any objects? There are objects, but they are not apparent. They are not prominent. The stars might be there. moon might be there, other objects might be there, but they are not prominent due to the appearance of the sun, due to the appearance of that burning red sun in the middle of the sky. So similarly, when you see your potential, the real potential, you don't go after these little things. You don't go after these sky objects. You don't go after the stars. Instead, you see the sun is there. Other things, they don't matter. Their weight is very less compared to that experience that you're having. So similarly, when we see the real nature, real depth of our mind, these thoughts, emotions, they become more and more less and less valuable. The weight that you are giving towards them become lesser and lesser. So that's the idea. That's the reprogramming of your own mind. So I'm saying this using words. You are hearing them, but still the process is not complete. You have to practice on your own. You have to experience. Then only you can really see whether this is true or false. So that's why we say you practice, you start your practice, do it for a few weeks, few months, and you can experience on your own. You can see how these sky objects become less and less valuable. How their weight becomes lesser and lesser. So we invite you to practice and see that experience, have that experience for yourself. Thank you for listening today.
Thank you so much, Bhante, for that excellent talk on mindfulness. Now, if anyone has questions for Bhante based on the talk, you can raise a Zoom hand and let us know, and we'll give you time to raise a question. Yes, I can see Samantha raising hand. You can present your question now, Samantha.
Thank you, Namantha. And thank you, Bhante, for that really interesting talk. I find that very useful and helpful. I was just wondering, so in the process of being mindful, for me, my thoughts tend to get in, obviously, continuous thoughts tend to get in the way, especially during the day when I'm not meditating or focusing on an object. And then sometimes, you know, you get carried away with the thoughts or boredom, and then I would lose my mindfulness. So I was just wondering, so with the continued practice, as Bhante mentioned about focusing on the, anchoring my practice on the breath, and if I were to keep on doing that practicing during the walking session and then the focusing on my breathing meditation, eventually would the thoughts lessen, and in turn that would lead to an increase in my being more mindful throughout the day, and you know, just generally being mindful. So really what I was trying to say is, like, by continued practice on the breathing, am I lessening my thoughts as well? Am I increasing my mindfulness doing that way? Because it's interesting that, you know, in the Noble Eightfold Paths, it comes as in order of right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi. So all three in that order, or it just sort of like after samadhi, and then you go back into being mindful, increases. That's my question, Bhante. Thank you.
Okay, now the question, I would like to show two parts. Now, when you pay attention to your breath, when you keep observing your breath, you are not following usual thought processes. So in a way, observing breath helps to reduce the thought processes. You are not encouraging them. You are not pulling. Yeah. Instead, you give your energy, attention to something else, a new circuit. Instead of the usual circuits, you try to follow this new circuit. That's one side.
Yeah.
Right? But when you observe breath, that mindfulness, it's just a single moment of mindfulness. Just a point of mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the practice starts. You know, you have few moments of mindfulness. You start, observe few breaths. You observe few steps. Just few moments, yeah. Few steps, right? But you have to be skillful to continue your mindfulness. To have have continuing mindfulness in your mind. That needs skill. That's why I said you have to be skillful to do that. How to maintain continuous mindfulness? Now the thoughts will appear. Sounds may appear. So based on your statement, you can't really continue because the thoughts are there. The sounds are there. But you have to recognize that you are telling that I observe thoughts.
Mm.
I observe sounds. That very awareness is the practice. So due to the practice, you are observing so many thoughts, so many feelings, many emotions, so many bodily sensations. It's not only the breath that you come to be aware. So this is how you can continue your mindfulness. That's why I said you need skill, you need to be skillful in your practice to continue that mindfulness. Otherwise you earn, but you don't know the way of saving. You earn, you let it go. You earn, you let it go. There are no savings for you. You have to earn and you have to be skillful to preserve it, to save it. That skill is lacking in most of us. So even walking hour, you are mindful. Sitting hour, you are mindful. How about the rest of the day? 22 more hours are there, no? Including the sleeping time. So if you just let go of the practice, then what will happen? 2 hours of mindfulness versus 22 hours of unmindfulness. So we are not skillful in our practice. We don't know how to preserve what we earn. That's a problem. So that's why we say, try to be aware throughout your day. Try to see, can you be aware while brushing your teeth? Can you be aware having your meals? You take your plate and go sit in front of a computer or a TV, then we can't talk about this. But watch TV, that's fine. Do things in your computer, that's fine. But have separate time for 15 minutes for my meals. Then when you walk, probably during the day, you are walking a few kilometers. The area starts, you are walking. So can I be aware that I'm walking instead of thinking about the destination? Instead of thinking about the task, can I be aware that I'm walking? Probably you are wearing shoes, that's fine. can I be aware? When you take a bath, can you be aware that you are having a bath? Do you feel the water? Do you feel the temperature of the water? So that is how you become skillful in your practice. So that single moment of mindfulness helps. But you have to make sure that you are continuing your mindfulness. That part is difficult. Object of attention may change, but your attention can continue. That is why we say you have to be skillful in your practice. Otherwise, you are hardworking, you are earning, but you don't know how to preserve it. So try to understand that part. If with mindfulness you become aware that there are thoughts, with mindfulness you become aware that these emotions are there. We don't try to get rid of them. Instead, we become aware. As soon as you become aware, you don't pull those thought processes. You refrain from it, and that will help to reduce their energy. To get rid of those usual parts that we have programmed millions of times. So try and see. Try to change the definition of your practice. Try to change the words that you are using to report. That very approach will also help. You can't say that the thoughts are disturbing. Can I get rid of thoughts? By doing this, can I do that? That's not the way to approach. Instead, you can say in a winner's voice that I observed so many thoughts in my day-to-day life due to mindfulness. I was skillful to be aware during these difficult times. That's the real approach that you have to take towards the practice. Otherwise, it's a never-ending process. You have 2 hours of practice. You have 22 hours of unmindfulness. You have 2 hours of wisdom. You have 22 hours of ignorance. That won't work. Even approaching your sleep, if you approach with a mindful mind, the practice will guarantee the remaining part. Till you wake up, the practice will be there. That is what it says about the practice. If you approach your sleep with a mindful mind, then that mindfulness will continue automatically during your sleeping time. So that's the idea of the practice. Try to understand it. Try to, you know, include that in your day-to-day life.
Thank you, Bhante. That's really helpful. So basically, by being mindful of, say, for example, whatever's going on and in thoughts and everything, and not giving any judgment of liking or disliking, you're accepting whatever you're mindful of, then you're reprogramming your mind not to have any preferences. You're just being aware of what is in that moment, and in doing so, you're increasing your mindfulness going through that way. If I'm right in saying so, you're not, you're not getting carried away by just one or thoughts or whatever. You're just accepting whatever's there. So in doing so, you're mindful. You're increasing your mindful. Whereas what I was wondering was like by doing the by doing the meditation practice and focusing on that, say on the breath or something. That's also eventually you're having a stillness of the mind and increasing your mindfulness that way as well. It all helps, I suppose, feeds each other.
Yeah. You have to be skillful to continue your practice even in your day-to-day life.
Yeah. Thank you, Bhante. I appreciate your advice. Thank you, Sadhu.
Much merits to Bhante for accepting that question, and thank you, Samantha, for your question. Now I would move towards the closure of the session for today. We had around 15 minutes of in-session mindfulness practice, and then proceeded on to the question and answer session. And Bhante's advice was invaluable for all of us in relation to the statements and questions presented. And then we came towards the talk on mindfulness and received further insightful advice from Bhante. So I think in context of what we are experiencing in the world today, there is a lot of news and elements or objects of focus that come, that are thrown at us. So it's a very unusual time, this time period in history. So I think learnings or teachings like these will help you to safeguard your mental health and enhance mental fitness and face your life in all day-to-day activities. That is why the quality of these programs will be a treasure for all of us. So I would like to thank with much respect Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for taking time out from Bhante's own schedule on practice to appear in our program, to be present in our program. So thank you, Bhante, and much merits to Bhante, and hope that these merits gathered will in return help and enhance Bhante's own practice. Then I would also like to thank all the organizers who initiated this program and also who are persevering hard to maintain and sustain the program at a high level of quality. And I would also like to thank all of you who are participating in this program in believing in the power of mindfulness. So thank you to all of you. And with that, if anyone has a quick question or comment on the program itself, I would like to give you 30 seconds to raise a Zoom hand. Okay. Furthermore, I just missed one very particular person in my thanking speech. That is Most Venerable Bhante Udayiregama Dhammajiva Mahathero, who asked or requested for us to have this program. I share merits with the Chief Bhante as well. And now I would like to end the session for today. I wish you all a mindful and happy week ahead. And we will see you next week with a similar session. So again, much merits to Bhante. I will end the session now. Thank you.